Welcome to the DRV Law Show with your host, divorce attorney Dennis Vetrano, talking divorce, relationships, and adding value to your life. Now, here's your host, Dennis Vetrano.
Welcome back to the DRV Law Show. I'm your host, divorce attorney Dennis Vetrano. Again, a very special guest today. I'm really excited to speak with her. Jennifer Warren Medwin is here, a CDC-certified divorce coach, Supreme Court of Florida family mediator, a certified marital mediator, and a co-parenting instructor. Her private practice in Pinecrest, Miami is called Seeking Empowerment, Clarity Through Partnership. Jennifer specializes in working alongside individuals and couples who are contemplating divorce and are fearful of high conflict, and those who hope to save their marriages. She partners with clients to develop clarity, confidence, courage, conflict management strategies, and communication skills they need to move through the process. Jennifer is also collaboratively trained, a member of the National Association of Divorce Professionals, a member of the Amicable Divorce Network, an instructor at Family and Co-Parenting Enrichment Services, a committee member of KidSide, and a contributing writer for Tango, Thrive Global, and Our Family Wizard. She is also the author of Strategies and Tips from a Divorce Coach, a roadmap to move forward. Jennifer's approach to divorce coaching and mediation is one that provides clients with guidance and compassion through a difficult time in their lives. Welcome, 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 Jennifer. I'm so excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
So listen, once I heard about this, I can't tell you how excited I was, because honestly, I've never heard of, I'll call it a phenomenon. I've never heard of this phenomenon before. What is marital mediation?
First, I want to say you're not alone. It is amazing to me how many legal professionals don't know about marital mediation. And, you know, basically it started in the 1980s. And just recently, it's really starting to gain momentum. And so, you know, it used to be, you used to have three choices, right? If your marriage wasn't working out, you either survived and existed, you either sought counseling, or you got divorced.
Right.
Well, now there's a fourth solution. There has been for a while, but more and more people are learning about it, and that's marital mediation, which you work with a trained mediator. It's a very short-term, solution-oriented process where you as a couple come to the mediator and you develop a plan, either in writing or orally. If it's written, it would be a memorandum of understanding. And you work with a mediator for approximately 6 months. It could be shorter. I do five sessions, 2 hours each. Mm-hmm. However, you know, we can do that same package over and over again until we hit about the six month mark. And if really there's been no progress, then we need to revisit perhaps divorce being the solution to go forward, which at that time, you see, it's so amazing. There have been studies done that more than half of the people, if they decide to get divorced, they do so much more amicably.
Right.
Partnerships are so much healthier. And that's really important, especially if you're going to co-parent.
Right. So how do you know if marital mediation is a good fit for your circumstance? Because I think people, there's so many emotions and ideas swirling around in your head. And again, most people think like, hey, I've got three options and that's it. There's nothing else. There's marriage counseling. We're going to get divorced or that's it. So, you know, how do you know if marital mediation is a good fit for you?
It's a really great question. The intensity of the commitment to stay together. Right? If you have one party who really has decided that divorce is the answer for him or herself, then marital mediation is not for you.
Right.
However, if you have one whose commitment is slightly more than the other or equal to, there's room to work there. There has to be a commitment that they want to put divorce on the bookshelf. Right? You know, so many people, when things start going wrong, they either opt for counseling and, you know, oftentimes it still ends up in divorce, or they decide they're out. But what people don't understand, and I wish they would bring this back into even high schools, is that people are not learning how to effectively communicate with each other, and they are not learning how to manage their conflicts. right?
Right.
And that leads to a complete separation and parallel living. And there are ways around it. You know, even at, I'm 54, I'm not ashamed to admit it. I learn new conflict skills every day. I knew
right.
learn new ways of communicating. And this is what I do every day.
Right.
And so I think that so many people are at a deficit that when they hit challenges, they don't know how to work on it. And so they it's easier for them to just end it.
Yeah. And it's funny because I've always had the mentality, like, you know, obviously with anything, especially restoring your marital relationship, it definitely takes two people. And I always use the expression with clients like, hey, both jump in with both feet.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to be the same level of effort, but there has to be effort at least on each side, right?
And not necessarily, the effort comes after we know that there's a commitment.
Gotcha.
So we have to understand, and we have to, the parties have to believe that they both want to work on it, or at least give it a period of 6 months.
Right.
Because here's the thing with marital mediation, you're not losing time because, right. you know, within the confines of the mediation spirit, right? We're talking about what the issues are. So
right.
if it has to do with the children, what are the issues? If there's going to be a separation, what are the issues with the children? What are the financial issues? It's not like we are not dealing with the problems.
Right.
And at the end of the 6 months, you've come to the decision collectively, or even one person has decided, you know what? I really gave it my best shot. I really feel like divorce is the answer. I can write up a memorandum of understanding and each party can take it to their respective attorneys. And they
right.
haven't lost 6 months, but
right.
what they've gained is a tremendous amount of new skills that they can go through the divorce process in a much more holistic, amicable way.
Right. Now, is there anything, are there any circumstances or situations that are just non-starters for marital mediation?
If there's no commitment, that's a non-starter, right?
You got to want it. You got to want it.
You have to want it because guess what? It's work. It's not, you know, I do it through Zoom, you know, and I also do it here in my office in Miami, but there is work, a lot of work, a lot of
right.
introspective work, a
right.
lot of truth telling, a lot of what I call brain dumps, a lot of self exploration. Like, you know, so many of the couples who come to me, they have children who are either going to college or now they're empty nesters and they don't even know each other.
Right.
So we have to reintroduce, you know, what are your interests? What are your hobbies? What are some of the things that you like to do together? How do you handle conflict? And believe me, there are a plethora of assessments on how people handle conflict.
Right.
Do you understand what your love language is?
Yep.
Right. And so on and so forth. And really putting in the effort to come back together.
It's so funny because all of the things, I shouldn't say all of the things, but a good chunk of what I'm talking about relationships from a divorce lawyer's perspective is people are constantly changing throughout life. You want to make sure you're running in parallel and growing together, but you're not necessarily going to be the same person or growing in this specifically same situation, but even though you're going to change, you can grow together, right? But we need to continue to reintroduce ourselves to each other, to reacclimate to who you are growing into. Needs, wants, likes, change. And sometimes people never even really, really knew them well to begin with. You know, one thing that's always that stuck in my mind about this is like, how is this different from couples counseling?
So it's a really great question. And I get asked this often. And so basically, I am not doing any therapeutic discovery here. We're not talking about past patterns of behavior. We're not even talking about the past. In marital mediation, we are strictly in the present. We identify what the issues are because identifying the issues is very important. That's really the only way to move forward. Right.
Right.
And so we develop a plan on how once we know what the issues are, how do we overcome these issues? And I use my mediation skills to help the couple mediate and decide for themselves how they are going to go about handling certain situations. And it does require flexible thinking. You know, it does require, you know, managing your emotions, learning how, you know, it's not the other person's fault. If you're triggered by something, that's your fault. Let's stop the blame game, which happens a lot in counseling. This is very family focused. Does that make sense to you? It's about taking, you know, brave bites forward, right?
I think, you know, what resonates with me, I guess, as much as anything else, maybe more than anything else, is you're focusing on the present and the path forward, which I think in a way for people, I think it gives them hope. I think sometimes people are so overwhelmed with all of the baggage that happened in the past that like they can't quite wrap their head around the past and how they deal with it moving forward. But working from the present forward seems so much more encouraging and hopeful. But I have a question for you. Obviously, the past will be relevant. Is counseling or outside counseling, individual counseling, a component of this? Or would it be helpful if you're in marital mediation to do that as well?
Yes, it would be helpful. It's not a necessity, but gotcha. I do encourage if they are not seeing a couples counselor, I do encourage them to seek independent counseling, because I think that that's very beneficial as they are learning new skills and strategies to have an objective point of view. But it's certainly not, you know, a prerequisite. And I will tell you that I often have clients who have been to counseling, and one of the parties is like, counseling didn't work, we're getting a divorce, right? We've done everything, right? Those three choices, we've done everything. And at the end of the marital mediation, even if the decision is ultimately to divorce, I've never had a client who said to me, I feel like this has been a waste of time.
Right.
Every client, and it's not just with me, what I hear from those who do marriage research, you know, they find that people are so, they feel like they're walking away with so many tools that are not only helpful with their soon to be ex-spouse or their spouse that they're going to remain with, but with their bosses, with their friends, with their children, because you're learning communication skills and you're learning how to overcome conflict and you're learning how not to make assumptions. This is the biggest part. So many of us, you know, we live here.
Yeah.
We don't express ourselves. And so we start to build up all this resentment. And once you've developed all this resentment, it's like a big callus, and you've separated yourself so much from your spouse that it's very hard to find your way back in. And so we have to really use the loofah and to, you know, shave off that callus so that you can be vulnerable a little bit to each other again.
Oh, I love that analogy. You know, it's so funny, like even just the pieces I did today, I recorded today, is like, you know, one of the first steps anybody trying to work through issues in their marriage or restore their marital relationship is the communication. But that's a big word. I mean, there is so much underlying communication, and sometimes people need to learn or relearn the communication skills that are necessary to move forward. So I got a question for you. With these marital mediations, how often do people ultimately just end up getting divorced in those sorts of cases?
So what I can say to you is that there have been studies, and they say that 86% of the people who go through marital mediation go on, whether they get divorced or they don't, they go on to have healthier relationships because of skills.
Right.
So in my own private practice, and again, I've been doing it less than 5 years. So I would say in my practice, maybe 50% have stayed together and the others have gone on to divorce, either using the collaborative process or mediation.
Right.
And, you know, I want to go back for 1 second about communication, because you said it's a really big word, and it is. So I'm wondering if you know these facts, because I always teach this to my clients and I find it very useful. So there are three components to communication, right? One is your tone of voice. One is your physical affect, right? And one are words. Which one do you think is the most important?
I would probably say physical aspect.
Okay, well, you're close. Tone of voice is 55% of communication.
Yeah.
55. Yep. So think about that. So you're condescending, or you are a yeller, or any of those type of behaviors.
Yep.
You're escalating. You're escalating challenges. You're not de-escalating. So the second is the physical affect. That's 35%. So that's 90% already, and we haven't even spoken a word. Words are 10%.
Right.
So, you know, one of the things that's very easy to do, and I believe with my clients, is creating opportunities to succeed. Right. When you start to become aware of your tone of voice and you start playing with it, make it like a game. See if, you know, if when once we develop and we understand what the issues are and we start working on them. Before getting emotional, when you sense yourself getting emotional, play with it. See if you're a yeller, if you can lower your voice and see if you notice a difference in how the argument ensues, right?
Right.
Or become aware of your personal affect. Are you someone who rolls your eyes like my teenage son? And when he rolls his eyes,
I'm an eye roller sometimes too. So,
yeah.
All eye rollers out there, raise your hand.
Yeah, there are eye rollers. You know? And there are people who furrow their eyebrows. And so much is given off in communication by your personal, right? And so there are easy ways to start shifting, right? And creating a new dance with your partner.
Right.
But again, commitment has to be there.
And I think, you know, there's so many things out there. You know, I always, when I'm talking about this, I say there's conscious and there's subconscious. There are so many little idiosyncrasies that each individual person possesses, most of which we're not even aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I think, you know, when we were talking about like the level of success with marital mediation, my thought with this, and because I know from working with clients, and I think one of the things that makes it most difficult working with clients through contentious cases, some of the biggest things that make a case contentious and expensive and challenging is because they don't possess these skills. They don't know how to communicate with each other. They don't know each other's triggers. They don't know all of these. There's so much to be gained just through working through that process and learning the skill set. So I think, you know, I would imagine in your situation, you've seen people that have worked through this skill set. And I'm thinking like, how does this help co-parenting moving forward? So let's say marital mediation, you know, they ended up getting divorced anyway, but now they leave this situation with a skill set that assists them to co-parent. And that's one of the single most important things at the after your divorce case.
100%. And they learn how to co-parent and they make it child focused.
Right.
Not me focused.
Right.
And so much about what's going on within the microcosm of that relationship or what was going on, even if it was ultimately ended in divorce, is they were very me centered.
Right.
Right. And what we try to do is get them out of that me centeredness and focus when they're co-parenting on what are the best interests of the children. Right. And it's only through understanding how you handle conflict and what are the best ways of communicating that you can start to move through these issues. Like I'll give you something very easy. And I work with my clients all the time on this. There's something called the three P's. Okay. When you're in an argument with somebody, I work within frameworks. I find them very easy. That's why there are a plethora of them in my book. I feel like you can, you know, you always have the tools in your toolbox, like in right here in your pocket or your pocketbook or wherever you like to keep your important things. So I think frameworks are important. So the three P's when you're having an issue with somebody is you want to set the intention of focusing on the problem, not the person. That's the first P. Think back to arguments you've had or arguments you've heard clients have. People gaslight each other. They sandbag each other. And while it feels good in the moment, it escalates it escalates the issues. So you really want to focus on what the problem is. You want to focus on the present, not the past, right? The past has already happened. Yes, you have your narrative and you have your history from the past, and you probably have your resentment from the past. What can you do about it now going forward? Because that's where the only control is. And then here's the big one, one problem at a time. So what happens, and especially in a lot of divorce cases, and I'm sure you come across this all the time, there are so many problems and they're all being spit out at once. And that just creates an inferno.
Right.
And so really focusing on what it is that you want to talk to your spouse or soon to be ex-spouse. What is it that, what is the one important thing? Once you solve that one thing, you can make a time to discuss something else another time. But people, what people do is they pile on their resentments and then
And it spirals. And then it leads to conversations that are never productive. That even if you're making efforts to have communication about issues, it just spirals into one thing, two things, three things, five things, 20 things, 50 things. You know, it's funny. What I find with clients with the custody and visitation situations, parenting situations is, they associate what's best for the kids. They align it with what's best for them. And they can't distinguish the two things. Well, what's best for my kid is what I'm going to do. And that's what's like, they don't see that. No, those are two different things. They might be similar in ways, but they're two different things.
And that's because those individuals are stuck in what we call position-based thinking, right? Yep. And so because I teach co-parenting, we really train them to be children focused, and we explain to them, what does that mean? How do you create a child focused home, right? You look at the needs of the individual standing in front of you. They are not you. They are right. A part of you. What would serve their needs best, right? And people who have gone through marital mediation and end up having to co-parent are able to, you know, generate lists, are able to reframe, are able to reflect, they're able to do some active listening, they're able to use negotiation style tips that they have been taught in order to move through those challenges. Because at the end of the day, parents want what's best for the kids. They become so ego entrenched.
Yes. Right? Yes, absolutely. Like I said, and that's how, like, you know, I'll talk with a client. It was like, well, you know, this might not necessarily be what's best overall for your child. Well, what's best for them? What's best for me is what's best for them. I love them. I have their best interest at heart. Yes, but it's difficult to get. And it's on my end of the table. It's difficult to get parents to see that distinction between those two positions.
Yeah. And if I had a situation like that, what I might do is, you know, I fully understand that that is your belief. Let's brainstorm some possibilities. Okay. And within those possibilities, let's see if something can come to fruition that you both can be flexible with. Right. Because here's the thing. And I use this all of the time. If there were one right way of raising our children, we would all be doing it. Right. It would be, I mean, not that it would, we would all be walking around. We'd all be the same. And thank God there is not that one way of doing it. But if there was one, we would all be doing it. So life is a spectrum, right? Yep. What's a solution that we can come up with that might be comfortable for both of you and in the best interest of your child? And, you know, I have to say, in those cases, they're really usually willing to do so. Because they catch themselves that they're having that all or nothing thinking, right? Let's brainstorm some different scenarios and maybe we can come up with something. And that's part of my profession, is helping them, using my mediation skills, learn how to negotiate with each other.
Right. Now, how do you get those two parents, you know, because we've all had those situations, those two parents that say, well, I've got to figure it out. It's my way. I know what's best. And they've got it all messed up. They're, you know, you'll get like what they call the Disneyland parent on one side, right? And then you get the other parent that's like hyper-focused, like everything. Like I've got the calendar all sorted out. I've got everything laid out. All their clothes are color coordinated. Like, how do you get them to see, like, hey, get them to accept, really, there is more than one way to parent your children well.
So remember, when I'm dealing with marital mediation, I have that big C component of commitment.
Right.
And I often remind them, remember, we have this commitment to each other and to the process and to the macrocosm of your family. When you make that kind of commitment, it's important to what I call come from the penthouse thinking, not the basement thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Let's brainstorm some ideas. And I say it like that. And you know, usually people who come from marital mediation, they want to work on their marriage. And
right.
While flexibility may be difficult for them, they have a neutral facilitator in the room, which is me. I'm not on either side. I'm helping them come to a meeting of the minds, right? And so they're usually willing. Some have to be, you know,
nudged forward, right?
To at least be open to hearing some of the options available to them than you know, divorce mediation.
And I think, you know, again, there are so many, you know, it's funny. Sometimes I wonder, like, why do so for example, we've done divorce mediation for years, mm-hmm. and we still get 95% litigation cases who want to knock down, drag out, sort of like, and even when you try to say, you know, and when I do consultations and I look through the information about the cases, I try to at least put it out there. Have you considered mediation? Is this a workable sort of circumstance for you moving forward? And 9 times out of 10, they simply want to move forward to litigation, which, you know, kind of raises two questions for me. Number one, are there any real situations that are not workable from your view for divorce mediation? And, you know, number two, why don't people want to try divorce mediation? You know, when we say nudge people to want to work the process, why don't more people do divorce mediation? What are your thoughts on those two things?
I think that people need to be educated more about the process. You know,
absolutely.
Which is why, you know, taking off my hat as a marital mediator for a second and putting on my divorce coaching hat. That's right. One of the reasons why, as a divorce coach, I love getting clients who are in the should I, shouldn't I stage. They've thought about divorce. They don't know if they want a divorce, because it's during that time that I'm able to really educate them on the many ways you can dissolve your marriage, or the several ways that you can choose to work on your marriage, right?
Right.
Because here's the thing. People watch TV. They, you know, it's been in our culture. You lawyer up very quickly.
Right.
And I'll give you a very current example. I just had a client and she came to me in the should I, shouldn't I stage, and mediation definitely was a case for her. It was not very complicated.
Right.
Very, you know, high net worth, but it was not complicated. And she really felt very strongly that she wanted to hire an attorney. Okay, I support my clients. I simply give them the information and I'm there to partner with them. Well, what happened? Her spouse hired one of the top attorneys in our area. And now it's going to be an all-out war. And it's going to be a waste of money. She was just saying to me she had to pay $50,000 to her, you know, soon to be ex's forensic accountant. And we're not even at mediation yet, because in the state of Florida, you do, if there are any contentions, if there are any issues, they must go through mediation before they go in front of a judge, unless there's, you know, some emergency order or so on and so forth.
Right.
But listen, I think majority of cases could be handled through mediation.
Right.
I really do. But people want to lawyer up, and I think sometimes, or often even, it's a big mistake. And they don't even know even about hiring an attorney. Sometimes they'll just go off and, well, my friend had this attorney, she had a good result, so I'm gonna hire that attorney.
Right.
Right. And you know, you make really big mistakes. You need to understand the personality of the attorney you're hiring. You know, if they're a shark in court, well, they may not be far from a shark in everyday relationships with you, you know, and how they deal with you. And so it's, you know, that's why, you know, having a divorce coach as part of your team, I think is really important.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's so funny with these cases. I think every case is so specific. So you'll have those situations. I've had clients come in the past, say, well, you know, my fireman's pension was completely waived, or my buddy's fireman's pension was completely waived by his ex-spouse, you know, 5 years ago. And he had XYZ lawyers. So I'm going to go and hire that person. You need to be more thoughtful about it than that. And I think, again, I think in terms of the legal community, not enough lawyers do this sort of stuff. They're not well versed in it enough. They don't even know or understand the phenomenon of divorce. I say phenomenon because nobody knows about it, especially in New York State. Divorce coaches, the fact that you do have marital mediation, you do have options. And in New York, we don't do mediation. We don't do, you know, ADR before we go to court. We're just right into court. So people are out hiring lawyers and I'm seeing those sheets and I'm like, oh my God, you know, we know the lawyers that just want to go out and litigate cases. I mean, look, I can litigate them all day long, but the reality is, like you said, you're handing people price tags of $50,000 for things. And for a lot of people, it's culture shock.
Big. And I don't know, you know, necessarily the ins and outs of New York City, but you know, here, family court was not meant to be handling all of these cases. I mean,
none of them really. It's just not really best suited. It's really not.
And so, I do believe that there need to be litigators out there. There need to be, but the plethora of cases I think could be handled in alternative ways.
Right. And it's funny because I'm glad to hear you say that. And you know, I hung on a word that you used early on, which has become, I don't want to say my mantra, but like, you know, my let's say catch word for divorce, for the future of divorce. If we really care about the clientele we're working with is holistic. Mm-hmm. You've got to start treating these people like they're human beings. And you're dealing with a multifaceted sort of situation. This is not just your property dispute with your neighbor where it's 10 foot over the fence is 10 feet over the line or it's not. There is so much more involved in divorce cases. You know, hopefully moving forward, we'll start to see that in a little greater detail or we as professionals will rally around that.
But I will say something in fairness to the legal profession, particularly the attorneys, you know, they have just under doctors, one of the highest rates of burnout, right? No one profession can handle all right. The dynamics of what right. I call the four quadrants of divorce.
Right. Right.
And so, you know, that's why in 2013, the American Bar Association defined divorce coaching as the fourth element of the divorce process, because, mm-hmm. you know, we help take away some of that burden from the legal professionals because right. we can't expect them to counsel their clients, handle all the entities having to do with the law, and here's a big thing, take care of themselves.
Right.
Right. And have sort of a work life or a life work balance. So it's, you know, it's an important element in the process. And marital mediation is just another process that can be very beneficial, even if at the end of the day, you don't stay together.
Right. It's funny because I was taking a CLE, I want to say it was like last year, and they were giving the staggering statistics for divorce family law attorneys. We have some of the highest rates of suicide, some of the highest rates of drug abuse, some of the highest rates of mental health issues and depression and alcohol abuse. It's staggering. And it's funny right now, what we're seeing in our industry is many of the divorce and family law attorneys are leaving this area of law. And in fact, they're leaving this area of law in droves. And the unfortunate aspect of it is there are so many really good ones who are leaving.
Yeah.
Ones who really cared, ones who were really knowledgeable. And I think if we don't start embracing, let's say, the more modern approach to the handling of these cases, we will be doing a disservice to our clients and a disservice to ourselves.
I couldn't agree with that more. I just wrote an article while it was in the spring of 2023 for the Florida Bar Commentator on exactly that.
Yeah.
I will send it to you.
Please.
So that
please
you can
do.
You know, here's the thing, and I want all of your listeners to understand this. Whatever process you enter, you are the boss of the process. Not your professional, not anyone on your team, you. And right. You have to listen to your inner whispers. You have to educate yourself, yeah. And you have to be part of the solution. So many clients who come to me midway, they've lawyered up, they're conflicted as to, you know, which way to go. Right. They have given up their power to their attorneys, right? Your attorneys are there to help guide you legally, but it is your right to question and get your answers in a manner in which you can sit comfortably with to make the education, you know, decisions you need to. So being the boss of your process and having a seat at the table is your number one priority.
Yes. 100%. That's what I was saying. I was like, you know, again, your lawyer has a role. Your divorce coach has a role. Your counselor has a role. They all need to, like, I'm a big proponent of square peg, square hole, round peg, round hole. So like, even when I work around the house, I don't try to do my own painting or do my own plumbing. I have the expert do that. The plumber comes and does that.
That's right.
You know, even if the office, the IT guy comes and deals with the computer, I don't do it because I won't be the best at it. I'll usually mess it up and get frustrated and not be good at it. So as lawyers, we shouldn't be trying to be the counselor. We shouldn't be trying to be the coach. We are your lawyer. And I will regularly tell clients that. I am your lawyer. I'm here to give you legal advice. So if I feel like mentally or emotionally they're in distress, or I feel like they need somebody to guide them through the process and act as a go-between, I'm going to try to point them in the direction to use those professionals, use your tools, because they're out there. There's some really good ones.
Right. And by the way, in marital mediation, you know, if you had, you know, if you already have an attorney, right? And the attorney said, well, maybe marital mediation might be the thing for you. Right. You know, there are so many options out there for you.
Yeah.
You don't just, you know, nothing is set in stone, really, until you sign your marriage settlement agreement. I mean, and even that you can, but you have choices.
Yep.
And what I want your listeners to know is that there are only ever two choices in life. And it doesn't matter whether it's divorce, bankruptcy, illness, these are your two choices. You're either a victim of your situation or you're a creator. Right? And part of moving forward to the life you want or the life you feel you deserve is taking those micro steps forward. And that's what marital mediation can do for you. You help you take those brave bites forward.
I was going to ask you for an inspirational quote to close for our listeners, but I think that one is it. So thank you very much for that.
It can be. I also can say, I can leave the listeners with one thing, which is so easy, which is another tool. One of the things that I teach my clients, which is very helpful, is a formula. E plus R equals O. E is the event. Whatever has happened, let's say the father brings the child to the house 20 minutes late. That's the scenario. That's the event. The R is how you react and respond to it. And the O is the outcome. So where is the only place that you have control in that formula?
That would be the R.
The R, where you react, how you react, and how you respond. That's the only control you ever have. So between a stimulus and a response, what your listeners can do is say to themselves before they respond, how am I going to react and respond? Because that's the only thing I have control over. And then that's the way to lead a healthier lifestyle and move through challenges a lot easier, knowing where your control is.
Right.
E plus R equals O.
I like it. I like it. Good. A lot.
Okay, great. Great.
So listen, Jennifer, thank you so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it. You come back again sometime and chat a little bit?
I would love to chat again. And I'm so glad you're, you know, on the road to feeling better.
Yes, yes, yes. We were talking about earlier as I've been struggling with Lyme disease lately, long-term Lyme disease. So I'm kind of working through that process. So it's a journey, but as with anything else.
You're working through it.
Yep.
Empowering, you know, we have to be careful of the words we use with ourselves, you know. Yep. You're doing it.
Working through it. Yep. I'm getting through it. I'm getting through it for sure.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Thanks again for being here. Listen, if my listeners want to reach out to you, do counseling with you, get your book, read your book, use your resources, how can they find you? Please tell them where they can find you.
So they can find me on my website, seekingempowerment.com, or they can email me at jen@seekingempowerment. I'm on all the social media handles. And my book is available at Barnes & Noble and Amazon.
Oh, the book sounds great. Anything else we can expect coming up in the future? Or yes, people need to stay tuned.
I know. I am working on a new book that I'm really going to dive into after my son goes to college in the fall, about action and how to move forward.
Oh, that's so exciting. We all can't wait. I'm sure it's going to be amazing.
Thank you.
So listen, thank you. Thank you everybody for tuning in again to the DRV Law Show. Remember, please live the best life you can, know you're worth it, and stay patient because you will find it. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you again next time.